Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
God in His goodness has brought us safely to the threshold of a new year. Thank God for His mercies in bringing us safely through 2004. And what a wonderful privilege to be deposited upon the dawn of the year 2005. It doesn't seem all that long ago when I remember people telling us for certain that the Lord was going to come and time as we know it was going to end at the year 2000. And at the very least, there were a lot of voices telling us that the year 2000 was going to usher in all kinds of unspeakable calamities and upheavals, and that we'd better be ready for anarchy. And in the goodness and the providence of God, none of those things happened. And I think we should learn a few lessons from all of that. I hope you did. I think I have. And that lesson is to just believe the Bible when the Bible tells us that nobody knows, no man knows the day nor the hour when the Lord will return. We need to accept that for what it says and quit playing with those statements, that one another's like it, and acting as if, well, that really doesn't mean that you can't predict in general terms when the Lord is coming. Maybe not right down to the very minute, but certainly you can predict the seasons, the times. I mean, it's like autumn rolls into winter and winter rolls into spring and spring rolls into summer. And nobody can tell you exactly when spring arrives. I mean, there is a time on the calendar, of course, and even, I suppose, a minute on the clock. But as far as the changes that are taking place in nature, you just cannot pinpoint it quite that precisely. But, of course, you can pinpoint it. Pinpoint is the wrong word. You can't pinpoint it precisely, but you can predict it generally. And, of course, you can. We know that when the 1st of March rolls around, we're going to be in the last stages of winter. We know that when April 1 rolls around, we are going to be in the early stages of spring. We don't know if we're going to have a severe ending to winter or whether it will be mild. We don't know if we're going to have a very cold and blustery spring, or whether we'll have a more mild one, but we know these things generally to be true. We know that when May 1 rolls around, that we are well into spring, and there isn't much evidence of winter here in North Carolina, where I'm speaking from. Now, this broadcast may be going to places where it's different, but here in North Carolina, by the 1st of May, we may have some cool days, some cold and even wet, rainy days that are where you'll want your jacket. But winter is always, it's completely behind us. Spring has come. Now, if you're listening to this broadcast in Montana or Wyoming, you or in Idaho, you may have a very different perspective. You may still be dealing with snow. But we're not. If you're in North Dakota, and on it goes, it could be a very different situation. But here in North Carolina, We know generally how to predict what's going to happen. By the time the 1st of June rolls around, we're well into summer. Again, we don't know. Is it going to be a hot, dry summer? Is it going to be a cool, wet summer? These details, we don't know. We can't predict these things precisely, but we can predict them generally. Now, some people act as if that's the way it is with the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. No, nobody knows the day nor the hour. Nobody can predict it with precision, but we can read the signs and the seasons, and we can tell generally when it's going to happen. I caution you about that. I remember a prophecy self-proclaimed expert when I was a teenage boy who mesmerized me to, I'd have to admit, to a rather remarkable degree, and a lot of other people do, a lot of people at our church, with his predictions where he was careful to say, I can't tell you precisely, but I can tell you on the basis of my study of the Word of God that the tribulation will take place in the 70s. He's telling us this in the 60s. And you might as well just get ready for it. I can tell you with certainty it will take place. I can't tell you exactly when it will begin, but I can tell you it's going to happen in this decade. Well, you see, the 60s turned into the 70s, and the 70s turned into the 80s, and the 80s turned into the 90s, and the 90s have now turned into the first decade of the 2000, the third millennium, and we are halfway through that decade, and it still hasn't happened. I remember sometime around 1980, someone in my congregation handing me a book for evaluation, and the title of the book was 1980s Countdown to Armageddon. And it was written by another self-proclaimed prophecy expert who had received wide acclaim in the 70s for his books that he had written and his supposed detailed understanding of prophecy, and he was making predictions, and he was very certain that Armageddon was going to happen in the decade of the 80s, and in his particular understanding of prophecy, that meant that the Lord would have already come and raptured the church, and the 7 years of tribulation had to have occurred, and at the end of that time, there was going to be the Battle of Armageddon. And he told us with certainty that that was going to take place sometime in the decade of the 80s. Oh, he wouldn't be so foolish as to say precisely when, but he was quite certain, beyond any reasonable doubt, that Armageddon would take place sometime in the 80s. And he was the expert. And who was I to question that? So I took the book and, rather than getting back with a detailed analysis of it, I don't even know if I was capable of that, I just put it on my shelf and let it sit there. The individual in my church never asked about it again, so I didn't have to give an account, and it just sat there. And I don't remember now exactly when that book was handed to me. It might have been in 1978 or 1979 or 1980, I don't know. But anyway, the years ticked on. 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, nothing yet. If Armageddon's going to happen in the 80s, by this scheme of prophecy, the Lord should have already come by now. He hasn't. 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, or now in 90, 91. Not only has Armageddon not come, but the rapture of the church that had to precede it by 7 years hasn't occurred yet either. 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, all the predictions of what was going to happen in the year 2000. And then some of them said, well, it was actually 2001. 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005. Here we are. None of it happened. Once in a while, I pull that book off my shelf. I've never asked the individuals of my church if they want it back. I am 99.9% certain they have no interest in it whatsoever. I think it means more to me than it probably does to them, but every now and then I like to take it down off my shelf and look at it just as a reminder of the folly of ignoring what the Bible says. When Jesus said, nobody knows the day nor the hour, he was not saying that nobody can pinpoint it with precision, but we can have a pretty good general idea like when summer's going to come, or when fall's going to come, or when winter's going to come. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, nobody knows. Stop trying to predict. Nobody knows. Just be ready all the time. Now I know, human nature being what it is, that we respond better to people who will tell us, it's going to come right around the corner. Somehow we sit up and pay attention and take that more seriously and live more in the light of the second coming of Christ when that sort of thing's going on. But that's not what our Lord told us to do. He told us to be watching and waiting and ready all the time. Live every day as if the Lord could come this day, but also live every day as if the Lord might not come for another 500 years. You say, how can you do both? You do both by living every day in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day with eternity's values in view. Every day as if you're going to give an account of this day before the judgment seat of Christ. If you'll live every day that way, then you'll be ready if the Lord returns today. You live every day as if it might be your last day upon earth, which of course it will be if the Lord returns. But if the Lord should take you in death, it will be as well. So you just live the same way either way. Always watching, always ready, always redeeming the time, always serving the Lord, always living in the light of eternity, always living with the things that pertain to Christ and to the Word of God and to the kingdom of heaven as your highest priority instead of the things that pertain to this earth. You just live that way. You'll be ready. If the Lord comes and finds you living like that, you'll be ready. You'll not be ashamed at His coming. And if you're living any other way, you're being foolish, because even if the Lord doesn't come, you might get hit by a car. You might have a heart attack. You might be taken out of this world suddenly. And frankly, what difference does it make whether the Lord comes and finds you unprepared, or whether a heart attack comes and finds you unprepared? You're unprepared either way. But if you are prepared for a heart attack, you'll be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Just be ready. Live today as if the Lord might come today, and also live today as if He might not come for 500 more years. Because frankly, you don't know. Nobody knows. So I take that book off my shelf every now and then and take a look at it. It's a reminder of the folly of ignoring the Word of God, of thinking you're smarter than Jesus and the apostles, or thinking you've got a way to get around what Jesus was saying. Yeah, there's all those people who think Jesus was saying, don't make any predictions about His second coming, but I'm smarter than that. I know that's not what He was saying. Yeah, just go ahead. Prove yourself to be a fool. The strange thing about it is, as far as I can tell, and I haven't heard about this guy for some time, but as far as I can tell, the 80s rolled into the 90s, and he was still hailed in certain circles as a prophecy expert with that book sitting there to expose him as a fool and a fraud. Some people aren't smart enough to figure it out. They still acclaim him as a great prophecy expert and still ask him for his predictions and understanding about Bible prophecy. The other guy that I mentioned that mesmerized me when I was a teen, every now and then I turn on the television on Sunday night, and there he is with his wife, still going strong, still making predictions. I've heard him make other predictions about how soon the Lord is going to come now that sounded almost identical to the predictions I heard him making back in the 1960s when I was a teenager. He hasn't learned a thing. Hasn't learned anything from his mistakes, hasn't learned anything from his folly, hasn't been ashamed, hasn't been made to feel the shame of his error. Nobody's called him into account. People are still listening to him and sending him money and keeping him on the air, funding his programs and his ministry as if he is some great expert. Something's wrong here with this picture. I remember I think this goes back to 1988. It's been a while now, so I'm a little rusty. But I think it was 1988. A man that was attending our church, had been attending for a little while, handed me a booklet, and I think the name of the booklet, I don't know if I can put my hands on this one because I'm not sure what I did with it. I hope it's on my shelf somewhere so I can pull it out and look at it again, but handed me a book that said, if I remember correctly, 88 Reasons Why the Lord Will Return in 1988. I think that's what it was. I think it was 1988, and I think it was 88 Reasons. Whatever it was, maybe it was 86. 86 Reasons Why the Lord Will Return in 1986, but I think it was 88. 88 Reasons Why We Know the Lord Will Return in 1988. And he handed this book to me. I think it was 1988 when he handed it to me. In fact, this person had the prediction down to the month. And I even think the day. Had it all figured out from Bible prophecy. And had everybody expecting the Lord to return, I think the rapture of the church, on a particular calendar date in either August or September, October, sometime about the third quarter of 1988, had everybody all concerned about it. There were churches in our county who passed this out to all their people and had all their people waiting and ready for the Lord's return in 1988. Why, here it all is. It's all laid out in the Bible. You can't argue with the Bible. We believe the Bible. This man who was attending our church handed me this book and asked me what I thought about it. And I said, I'll tell you what. This man says the Lord is going to return in, and I'm just going to have to pick a date here, I can't remember. He says the Lord's going to return on October 15th, 1988. I tell you what, let's sit down and talk about it on October 16th. He got the point. He thought I was wrong. He thought I was foolish. His response was something like, well, it's all biblical. So I took it and started looking. I didn't read the whole thing. It just wasn't worth it. I've been through that too many times now. But I did begin to look at some of it, and I realized it's the same sort of superficial, illogical, wresting texts out of their context kind of interpretation that the guy who had the predictions of the Lord's return in the 70s had been using, and the guy who wrote the book about Armageddon in the 80s had been using. And now here's this guy telling us that the Lord is absolutely, without any fear of equivocation or doubt, going to return on an absolute date in 1988. And the amazing thing about it was, when the date came and passed, he said, oops, missed my calculation by, I think, a month, set another date, and all these people who had believed him the first time, we're expecting it to happen the second time. They hadn't learned anything. They just believed he made a little minor error in calculation. They were waiting for it the second time. And I think, I may be wrong about this, I think when that second date passed, he did it again. Said, oops, my calculation was off by 1 year. It's going to happen on this date next year. Well, I think by that time, some of the people who've been following him had come to the conclusion that this wasn't reliable. But if people would believe the Lord, they would have known that none of it was reliable from the very beginning. Have we learned anything? So here we are, on the threshold of a new year. The year is 2005. The Lord didn't come in the 60s, or the 70s, or the 80s, or the 90s. The Lord didn't come in the year 2000, when everybody had all these terrible predictions about Y2K. Remember? Some people stocking up food and water, and all kinds of supplies for all the terrible things that were going to happen then, when there was going to be all these computer crashes. Remember. Remember. That one had me a little bit more concerned, actually, than the other ones, because I'm not a computer expert. And some of the things these guys were saying sounded like it could happen. And I even had at least one guy who made his living programming computers in our church who told me that these things were very true and they were going to happen. But I had another man who was also a computer programmer in our church who said, it's nonsense. It's not going to happen. So we're not talking about Bible now. We're talking about two individuals, both of whom are basically supposed to be knowledgeable in the same field. I made a judgment between the two of them as just from what I knew of them, which one I assumed was more likely to be correct. And that was the guy who said it's not going to happen. It's nonsense. He said there might be some minor problems, but it's not going to be this major cataclysm like everybody's talking about. It's just not so. But I made an evaluation, an observational calculation based upon the one that I thought was most likely to be right. And therefore, I didn't get too concerned about it. But I must confess, I did get some 5-gallon water bottles and filled them up and put a little bit of, was it a little drop of Clorox or so, something you're supposed to put in there to make sure that it would stay pure for a while and so forth. I didn't buy any extra food, not one extra bag of beans. And I didn't do a lot of the things that other people were doing and said we ought to be doing. I didn't take it too seriously, but I must confess I did fill 4 or 5 5-gallon water bottles. That's as far as it went. But I thought, good night. If the electricity goes off and my house is on a well, now we have no water. So I suppose this could happen. It would be wise to stick some water, a little bit of extra water supply. So we did that, and as you know, it came and went. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Not a single stoplight failed to function. Not a single airplane, didn't meet the schedule. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005. Now, the danger in all of this is to think, well, it hasn't happened. Nothing's going to happen. The Lord really isn't going to return. Oh, don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. I think that's the reason why these things gain a lot of momentum. I think the adversary of our soul, the devil, is probably working overtime to promote these kinds of things so that after a while people get burnout and then they have a overreaction the other direction and they say nothing's going to happen, and then they begin to sound like 2 Peter chapter 3. Are you familiar with that? Here's what it says. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, this is 2 Peter 3 and following, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Nothing's going to happen. Everything's the same. All these predictions have failed. Time just keeps going on and on and on and on. Nothing's going to happen. The Lord's not going to come. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. What's he talking about there? He's describing creation. They talk as if everything that you see going on now has always been this way. In other words, that the universe is basically eternal, that matter is eternal, and things have always gone on the same way. There is no beginning. There is no creation. There is no point of creation, point in time when the world was created. And Peter says, wrong. And he says, people who talk that way are being willingly ignorant. They must know better, and they are suppressing the truth they have. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, God spoke and it happened, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. God brought order out of chaos. He brought dry land out of water. God created this world. It hasn't always been the same. what we see now had a definite starting point. He'd be as foolish as to look at a clock. We've got a wonderful big grandfather clock in our foyer, given to us by our congregation, the church, as an act of loving kindness in gratitude, I think, for our 25 years of ministry at the church. And beautiful big grandfather clock. I love to wind it. I love to hear it chime. Wouldn't I be foolish to look at that clock and say, ever since it's been sitting in our house, it's just been ticking away, just keeping time perfectly. It's done that for years and years and years and years now. I guess now for at least 7 or 8 years that we've had it. Wouldn't it be foolish for me to say, this thing has always done that? There never was a time when this clock wasn't ticking away and keeping time. No. It's doing that now, as long as I wind it. If I forget to wind it, it stops. But as long as I wind it, it just keeps time beautifully. I mean, just absolutely beautifully. But it hasn't always done that. There was a time when that clock did not exist. There was a time when it was manufactured, assembled, put together. There was a time when it struck the hour for the first time, when those beautiful Westminster chimes in that clock chimed for the very first time. There was a beginning. How do I know? Because the clock obviously is not eternal. It was manufactured. It was made. It did have a beginning point, just like this world. And don't think, because things just continue to go on, that there is no termination point. There is. There is. 2 Peter 3 goes on to say, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. What is he referring to there? The flood. Noah's flood. The universal flood. Here's two things that greatly interrupted the flow of sameness. There was a time when there was no world, and then God's word spoke the world into existence. That was a big interruption in things as they existed up until that point. Now the world looks like it has been this way forever, but it hasn't. And furthermore, there was another great cataclysm when the world was completely covered with water in the flood in Noah's day. And that changed everything. Things weren't going on the same then. They were completely changed. And so don't be foolish and say, because things keep going on, they always will go on. Because the Lord hasn't come yet, he never will come. Oh, he's coming, friend. He's coming. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. He's coming. You better be ready. I trust you shall. But isn't the Lord good to bring us safely through another year and give us the opportunities of the year 2005? We don't know what this year will hold, but we need to seize every opportunity and to live it in the light of eternity. May God help us to do so. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.